Everyone, glad you're here tonight with us here at Living Word. And if you're tuning in, glad you're doing that as well. So give you a second to get online with us tonight. We're going to ask you, if you got a prayer request and you're watching from home tonight and you want us to pray for something, just go on there and put on there, pray for me or whatever you need. Healing, pray for my family, pray for my finances. We're going to take just a few minutes tonight and open up with just some prayer. Got a couple of pretty serious requests I'll be talking about in just a minute, but I want to give you a chance to get involved tonight. And if you need prayer, just put on there, please pray. I need prayer. My family needs prayer, whatever it is. And we're going to believe God's going to hear us tonight and answer our prayers. That's the kind of God we serve. He answers our prayers. I truly believe that. It's a little bit lower if you don't mind. We've got a couple of serious requests I need to talk about tonight. The first one, Maggie Mash. Many of you may know Maggie Mash that are watching me. I don't know if anybody here knows Maggie Mash or not. Been friends with the family since I was a kid, since I was 9 or 10 years old. Maggie Mash is having to have her heart shocked in the morning to get it back in rhythm. And she's asked us to pray for her tonight. And they're good people, good family. They also minister and pastor a church, her and her husband. And she's asked us to pray for her as she goes in the morning to have that done. So Maggie, we are going to pray for you tonight. In just a minute, we're going to call your name out. And we love you. And like you said on your text to me, you know the healer is. And we're believing God's going to be with you as that heart is shocked in the morning. And he's going to regulate that back in your life again. So, also, Melanie's Aunt Brenda got some pretty bad news. She's had a lot of health issues. She's had a back surgery, needs another back surgery, has her artery in her necks are both clogged. She needs that fixed. And then she finds out that it looks pretty certain by the doctor's report that she has leukemia. And so we want to pray for Brenda Huff, that God knows what's going on exactly. And we want to pray for Brenda for her healing and also for peace during this time that she faces. Her numbers are really elevated. And they're going to take her numbers again in 3 months to see what's going on. But all reports point to a very, very high chance that she has leukemia right now. So we definitely want to pray for Brenda. And I can't see. I'm trying to. Let's see if I can see it here. We've got any more prayer requests coming on. Hey, Karina. Karina's watching us tonight from West Virginia, and she's going to be coming down actually this weekend, so I'm excited about that. We'll be able to see Karina. She said save her seat, so somewhere back there she'll be Sunday, hopefully. But if you got a prayer request, put it on there real quick before we pray. Just put on there, pray for me if you got a need. I know we can't be here together right now, all of us. So I want to include you as well tonight. So if you got something, let me know real quick before we pray. Got a lot of people struggling right now in a lot of ways, and a lot of people need strength in their mind right now, their heart, with everything going on. People are need hope. So we know things are supposed to open back up a little bit Friday evening. I just saw where Allison put on there the hair salons are opening back up. It's supposed to be 5 o'clock Friday with restrictions, so hallelujah for that. Y'all get your selfies back on the phone again when you get looking all pretty and stuff. So some restaurants are supposed to open up as well at 50% capacity. So I done told Gail to be at Village Inn Friday night at 4:30 in line, waiting. So he can be one of them first 50% getting in the door. But we're excited about that. Hey, Cindy LaFon, thanks for watching. We love you and your family very much up there in Taylorsville. And thank you, Bill, for watching. Bill's watching here on location and on Facebook. So he is very multitasked. So. And we're so excited. We got a special visitor. Have a special visitor tonight with us. We have a kid back in the church. Hallelujah. We got little Hunter with us. Little Kristen Kevin's little boy Hunter, who is about 16 months old. You may hear him during the service. If you hear him, that is a child in the church. And we are so thankful to have him tonight with us. It's great to hear his voice. It really, really is. But of course, my wife is watching tonight. She's not with us, but she is. She's watching. And Doc, you're right. The country needs prayer, brother. Our country does need prayer, and we need to pray for our country and for our leadership, for all those that are involved in decisions that are being made. So We are going to pray for these needs. And I will ask the ones that are here tonight if you would stand with me. And the ones at home, stand with me if you're able to. Also, if you can, stand. Let's just pray for a little bit about, for these people and for the needs of our church body. Father, we come into your presence as always with thanksgiving and with praise. We enter your courts with praise, like the word says. We thank you that you love us. We thank you, Lord, that our hope is in you. Our hope's not in what's happening around us. Our hope is in what you did inside of us. God, our hope and our peace doesn't come from what the world says. It comes from what your word says. The world is chaotic in many ways. There's a lot of fear, a lot of uncertainty, a lot of dark times surrounding us. God, a lot of decisions being made that are good and bad. And we just pray, God, that you lead our leaders, that they will turn to you in this time of crisis, this time of fear, and they will look to you and say, God, what do you say? Not what they say. What do you say? What does your voice speak into my life? Let them hear your voice. Let them lead by your hand, God, this country. I pray for Maggie Mash, Lord, as she goes to have this surgery tomorrow, that as they shock her heart, Lord, that you will be with her and that you will be right where she is at, and we know you already will be. And I pray your hand will guide everything done in that room tomorrow, and that as they shock her heart, it will get back into rhythm and beat the way that you commanded it in the beginning to beat. We ask for that in the name of Jesus. We pray for Aunt Brenda, Lord, as she's battling so many health issues. God, we know who we serve. She knows who she serves. And I pray for healing. I pray for peace. I pray for hope. I pray for joy. Even her time of fear, God, that she will lift her hands and say, Lord, I know that I know that I know who's in control, that you will be with her on this journey and this process. I pray for Barbara, Lord, you continue to be with her. And as she continues day by day to progress and day by day to get better, we know that she is. God, fill her with a peace to know it's not about the numbers that she sees, but about the God that she serves. Let her see that and know that and celebrate your goodness, God, and your healing hand. For all of our church family, for all of those that are suffering, whatever issues they are, I pray for them, Lord. We lift them before you, that you watch over them. For those that are working, God, continue to provide. For those that are not working, we ask you provide. For those that are afraid, God, give them peace. We pray, God, for those in our family of Living Word, that you will watch, guide, and keep them day by day and bring them back to this fold. Bring them back to these four walls, Lord, where we gain strength and encouragement and hope by being with one another. We thank you, God, for watching over us. We thank you for protecting us. And we thank you that our allegiance is pledged to you, God, and you only. You are the king of our country. You are the head of our lives. You're the head of our homes, the head of our hearts. You're the head of all things because you have power over all. And we thank you for that, Lord. Fill this sanctuary tonight with your presence and fill this word with your anointing, that it will go forth and break into our hearts, and we will be lifted up by what we read and hear and see tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone said, amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Y'all gonna be seated tonight. We're going to get into our word. We're going to skip the singing tonight and just kind of get into our word tonight. And another faith story we're going to talk about. So I'm good, Marjorie. Thank you. May have you come back up at the end and do something in closing. We are going to be in Luke chapter 8 tonight, and we've been doing Wednesday night's faith stories, stories of faith, miracles, things that happen supernaturally. I think sometimes we really get limited to just looking at what we can provide for ourselves, forgetting who we serve. It's like a little kid, you know. A little kid has no problem asking their parents for anything. They might get told no, but they'll ask. They have no problem asking. They have no problem. Can I borrow $20? Can I borrow $10? Can I use the car? Can I have this? You go on Walmart. Can I have that candy bar? Can I have that Cracker Jack box? Can I have that little ball? They ask that. Do you still ask your parents for stuff, David? Look at Christy. Yeah, of course you ask. You go in the store. Hey, Dad, can we get this? Mom, can you get this? You know why he feels so free to ask? Because he knows there's a possibility that his parents can provide that for him. When we ask God for things, we must expect, God, you're able to provide this for me. Now, I may not always get exactly what I ask for, but I know you can provide it. I know you can give it to me. And that's half the battle, knowing God can give it to us. Lord, I trust you in every situation to come to you to ask for this need to be met. And Lord, if you don't meet the way I pray, you can meet it a different way, but you can still meet it. And that's what I trust. We read all throughout the Bible where God met needs in kind of strange ways sometimes. You know, when the little widow woman we talked about a few weeks ago had the little pot of oil is all she had, and they took her sons off to work off the debt in slavery. And the prophet came by and says, what have you got? A little bit of oil? I mean, that makes no sense. Why the prophet give her a bunch of money? Why didn't manna just fall from the sky and say, here's the money, go pay your debt? No, it didn't happen that way. It took a little bit of oil, and it kept pouring and pouring and pouring until the debt was paid. You know, we see how God works. We see him work miraculously. And so we have two more stories, actually two together here in chapter 8, that I want to talk about tonight. Stories of faith that God has power over all. So we're going to start chapter 8, and we're going to start in verse 41. And behold, there came a man named Jairus, and he was a ruler of the synagogue. And he fell down at Jesus' feet and besought him that he would come to his house. Notice what happens in the very first verse. He was a synagogue leader. He helped prepare the tabernacle for worship. He was a highfalutin tabernacle official. And here this man is bowing at the feet of Jesus. Why was he surrendering? Because the next verse tells us he had a real serious request. And there's times in our lives we get desperate enough, we'll ask somebody for some help. And when it comes to our spiritual part, we need to not be so proud that we don't come to God and say, God, I know my money's not for me because I'm not all of that. I'm not a self-accomplished man, God. I'm only blessed by your hand. I'm only provided for by your hand. And God, I give all of my life to you and I trust you. Here is the synagogue leader who didn't probably really believe in the ways of Jesus or his teaching, or he didn't probably even believe he was really the Son of God, but he did believe that he could help him. He did believe that much. And for people to say, I don't understand all this God stuff, the Bible stuff, I've been in church, I've heard preaching, I don't understand it all, that's okay. Neither do I. We don't all understand everything about the Bible, but I do understand this much, that I know God can help me. And I know God has what I need. And so if I just go to God and say, God, here I am. I'm at your feet. I have no way of escape. I have no answers. I don't know how to figure it out. So I lay my life before you. God, step into my situation and change it. Because I can't. I'm stuck. I'm right between the old saying, a rock and a hard place, right, with nowhere to go. I'm stuck between a Red Sea and Pharaoh's army. I'm stuck between a giant. I'm stuck between two lions and a lion's den. I'm stuck between a king with an order and a fiery furnace. God, I'm stuck between two places, and there's no way out, and there's no hope except for you. And here's the synagogue leader who came to Jesus and bowed at his feet. He humbled his own position because he was desperate. Here's why he was desperate. Look at verse 42. He had only one daughter, about 12 years of age, and she lay dying. But as he went, the people thronged him. Now here comes the second story. Jesus did two things here in this little passage. A woman having an issue of blood for 12 years had spent all of her living upon physicians. Neither could be healed of any. We all know of situations, people that we love that we've lost, situations of our lives that we have done all we can do and they couldn't help them. I think about, you know, years ago when Patrick Swayze died of pancreatic cancer. Multi-millionaire, right? Movie star, everybody, household name, everybody knows Patrick Swayze. But when it came to this pancreatic cancer, his fame, his money, his name, his reputation, his box office hits, who he was, didn't amount to a hill of beans for his healing. Nobody can make him whole. And this synagogue leader realized, my daughter's dying and there is no hope except possibly this man. And here's this woman who also had an issue of blood for 12 years and nobody could fix her. Verse 44, she came behind him. She touched the border of his garment. This is like a tassel that hung down from the robe. And immediately when she touched the tassel of his robe, her issue of blood, the bleeding stopped. Now let's talk about this a minute. Here's a woman who was ashamed of her condition, who was afraid of her condition, who had no hope of being healed or made whole. Everybody told her, can't help you. I'm sorry, you gotta live with it. Sorry, gotta live with it. Sorry, it's just what it is. But heard Jesus was coming and thought, maybe he can help me. And she didn't even call for an appointment. She didn't even call him by name. She didn't make an attention to draw any attention to herself at all. She didn't interrupt his walk as he was walking through the crowd. She simply, in her mind, thought, if I can just touch him, just physically touch who he is, then who he is can make me whole. Who he is can stop my bleeding. Who he is can fix what doctors couldn't fix and money couldn't buy. He can fix me. And exactly that's what happened. As she touched his outer garment, immediately her blood stopped. And Jesus turned around in verse 45 and said, "Who touched me?" When all denied, Peter and they that were with him said, "Master, the multitude throngs thee." They're all around you. They're elbow to elbow with you. They're pressing upon you. And you said, "Who touched me?" And Jesus said, "Somebody has touched me, for I perceive that virtue," or power is what that word means, "has gone out of me." Her faith activated his release. Her seed of touching him by faith activated her harvest, because she knew there was a chance he had what she needed. And it wasn't about drawing attention to herself. It's about just being made whole. I just need to be fixed. I just need to be well. I just want my situation to be changed. That's all I want. And when she touched him, she was made whole. And when Jesus said that, the woman saw she was not hid. She came trembling and falling down before him. And she declared to him before all the people for what cause she had touched him, and how she was healed immediately. Oh, my, think about this. Here's why I touched you, Lord. Nobody could help me. Nobody could fix me. Lord, I was desperate. I'm hurting every day. I'm in pain every day. I'm reproached to those around me. They look at me when I try to go to town, and I can't even be a regular, normal person. This isn't what I wanted to be, God, and I just came to find some help. I just came because my situation couldn't change no other way. There's times of our lives that God is all that we have. It's the only resource for our lives is God, period. And I think about how we try to fix our problems so much. I counseled with someone this afternoon over here that's going through a terrible, horrible time in their lives. And I talked to them, spent about an hour and a half. We're going through things, talking. And at the end, I said, "You know, I can't fix this. Even you can't fix this, but God can." And I said, "Let's pray that God steps in and fixes the situation." And that's what we did. God, you've got to handle this. God, you've got to step in. These are dynamics that we can't move. There's mountains we can't move. We don't think we can. We're tough. We're independent. We're self-reliant. We don't need no help. It's a sign of weakness. No, it's not. Asking for help's a sign of strength, because you want to come out of what you are in. And asking for help makes things a lot easier. Men get a real bad crack, right, for asking for directions. And I'm that way. I'll be riding around. I was like, "James, you want me to..." No, leave Siri alone. I want to see where this road ends up. We ain't going to be that lost. We'll figure it out. Let's just ride. Let's be surprised. I don't want to know I-23 is coming up 500 feet in front of me. I might find a dairy cow on a dirt road. I just want to see where it ends. But it is easier when you stop and actually ask for directions, because then you know where you're going. That's right. Amen, Hunter. When we ask God for something, you know what? He gives us direction. It's time that we Google God, right? We Siri God. You know, we request God. "Lord, I need direction for my life, and I don't know which way to go." Jesus goes on to tell this woman. He said to her, "Daughter, be of good comfort. Your faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace." The pharmaceutical world is making billions off of people's lack of peace. I don't have peace, so I take this, or alcohol, or whatever else we do to try to bring peace into our lives. This gives me peace. This calms my nerves. The greatest thing to calm our nerves is to have peace in Him. No matter what storm rises, Lord, I trust you. No matter what the boss man says, I trust you. Because my financial status is not determined by where I work. It's determined by who I work for, and that's you. Lord, my protection is not based on what I can do. It's based on the angels you unleash around me every single day. God, my healing is not based on what physicians and doctors and nurses can do. It's based on who you are and what you can do. So I have peace when I'm sick. I have peace when I'm broke. I have peace when I'm afraid, so to speak, because I know as I turn my eyes to you and I can walk in that peace, all those things somehow just don't seem to matter quite as much because, God, I've got peace. You're going to take care of me. You're going to take care of it. This woman not only gained her physical healing, but she gained a new spiritual walk. Her faith made her whole. People make fun of faith, right? I've seen a lot of comments, and as a pastor, I probably am a little extra sensitive because it's what I do. I'm a pastor, and I get that. Church is important to me. But I'm realizing through this pandemic how many people church isn't that important to by the comments I see. You know, I see a lot of comments. Church isn't about the building. No, it's not. Church is about the people. Yes, it is. I agree with that. I got all that. People are frustrated that why? I've seen comments, why are people working so hard to try to have service, parking lot services, drive-in services? You know, I seen a picture on Facebook. I'm sure, I don't know if it's a joke or real. I really don't know. But a Catholic priest is standing out there with a mask on and a squirt gun shooting holy water on people. That's real. See, here's the deal. It's important to a lot of people, the church structure and what it represents. I did a message on that one Sunday, the importance of the church. And so for me, for people to say, well, you know, church isn't that important. You know, I can watch it on Facebook, you know, I can watch it on TV, or I pray in my own closet. I go to the creek and get my beer and my fishing rod and me and God talk. Okay, it's all right. But what I don't understand is as Christians, as God's people, to me, the church has a big importance and a big role. And it should have a big role in your life. It's where we come to the church, if it's the right church. I said this when I preached this message. Should be the one place where we are all on equal ground, where it's not about the color of our skin, about the status of our money, about what job we do for a living, about what we wear, how we dress, about our past, about where we come from, about our sins, about this or that. It's the one place we come because the steeple and the cross and the church building represents something way bigger than me and you. It represents the government of our God and his kingdom. It represents something. It represents when people come to a church, you know what they're looking for? They're looking for answers. They're looking for hope. They're looking for peace. They're looking for breakthrough and healing in their lives. They're looking for their chains to be broke, and nobody can do it. The psychologists, psychiatrists, and coworkers can't fix their problems. But if I can get to a church where the power of Jesus is being preached, maybe in that atmosphere, there's something here that's nowhere else. There's something here that you can't get nowhere else. Yes, it's important. It's very important. Ask the race car drivers at Darlington how different it was having no fans in the stands. They went around the track. How different that was to an empty track. Of course it matters. And to the pastor and to the minister, it matters that people are in the church because it gives the minister, the teachers, the singers, anyone serving in the church, it gives them encouragement. It's a lot better to hear an amen in person than an amen on Facebook. There's something about the church that matters. And so for so many people that are making a big deal about why is people fighting so hard, because whether American people want to hear this or not, even some religious folks are this way, there's enough people that church still matters that it's important to them. It matters. And that's why the whole time we've kept at least a skeleton crew coming with our worship team and our singers in the very beginning to keep the doors unlocked, because it's important that we keep moving forward with God's house. And I know for some it's not that big a deal, but man, I think it's a very big deal. And I think we've got to be very careful the devil doesn't deceive us, because we gain great strength with each other. We gain great comfort being together as a church family. Because in this church, as you know, we have a modge podge of people. I guess both churches do, but I think we got more of a modge podge than others. And I love that. I'm glad we got a modge podge of people. That's what it should be. That's what God called us to be, one family together. So she was healed. Now, the woman with the issue of blood was made whole because she, by faith, she broke through her current condition and reach for something more. And she got what she reached for. Don't be afraid to reach for more with God. Don't be afraid to step out by faith. Don't be afraid that God's going to let you down, or what if you don't hear me, or what if I didn't? Just, you step out by faith and trust Him and watch what God will do. I've lived by faith my whole life, and God has never failed me, ever, ever failed me. While he yet spake, there cometh the ruler of the synagogue's house, saying to him, thy daughter is dead, trouble not the master. In other words, too late, God, you missed it. Don't worry, she's dead, it's over. Well, we know how that works with God. It's not over with God, ever over. When Jesus heard it, he answered and says, fear not, believe only, and she shall be made whole. Believe. Believe I can do it. Believe in who I am. Believe that what you see in front of you is not the end result. The beautiful thing that I enjoy about when I do a funeral service, and I know that sounds horrible, but one of the beautiful points that I love to make in a funeral service is when that child of God is no longer here, imagine where they are at. Because of what Jesus did, they're not dead. They're not just in the ground. They're not just cremated in ashes. They're not just spread across the Atlantic Ocean. They're not just in your necklace on your what you're wearing. They are them. That person has broken the shell of death here and entered eternity with him. That's the beautiful thing about the Word of God and about who we serve. And so when he says, believe me, you say she's dead, just watch. Just watch what happens here. She will be made whole. Verse 51, when he came to the house, he suffered no man, allowed no man to go in except for Peter, James, and John, and the parents of the maiden, the father and mother. So it's those six back there with the little girl. All wept, all bewailed her. And he said, weep not, she's not dead, but sleepeth. Now think about this. God's got the power over death. We know that. We've seen that. He raised Lazarus. You know, we see how Jesus himself raised the third day. He had power over death. When we put things before God, or we're going through battles, I've said this many times, we categorize our battles by size. And some battles seem more impossible because they're bigger. You know, leukemia is a pretty big battle. It's a lot bigger battle in our eyes, than a toothache. You know, losing some money on your job is a less of a battle than losing your whole job. But the point is, these battles that we measure, God doesn't. He is God over all things. He doesn't measure battles by the levels of sickness, whether it's stage one or stage four, whether it's, you know, poverty, whether it's addiction, whether how bad addiction is. It doesn't matter how bad the divorce looks like it's going to be, how wild the child is. None of these things are measured by God. They're measured by us. We say, well, they're going to always be the way they are. It's just never going to change. This mountain is too high. This giant is too strong. It is what it is. But it's just like Peter when he's walking on the water. The Bible talks about when God called him, he actually, can you imagine seeing that, man? Whew. Peter stepped out of that boat and for a while was walking on top of the water toward Jesus. And it was a windy night. Normally it is in the water, right? It's windy. And the waves, you know, were splashing them and the breeze was blowing. And all of a sudden, I think as Peter's out there, you know, at first he was so motivated by faith. Jesus said, come. Okay. I'm there, Lord. Here I come. Ready or not, here I come. And everything is good because he's hearing the call of God. And he's hearing his voice and he's trusting Jesus. Because when he was on the boat, everything was safe, right? He was safe on the boat. So when Jesus called him, okay, sure, I'm safe right now. He gets about halfway or however far he gets. The Bible don't say how far he walked. As he's walking, he gets his eyes on where he's at that moment. I'm not safe no more. The waves are hitting me. The wind is blowing. What am I doing? I'm in the middle of the ocean. What am I thinking? And he took his focus and took his eyes off the Savior. He had him on the storm and not the Savior. So many times in our lives, man, we place our eyes on the storm and not the Savior. We place our eyes on what's going wrong and not what's going right. We place our eyes on the giants in front of us and not the giant slayer, not the lion tamer, not the way maker. We don't want that. We place our eyes on that instead of on God. Man, we are a people of faith. If you're watching me, you're probably a person of faith, or you probably wouldn't be watching. You're a person of faith. You believe in God. You believe He can do anything, or you say that. But then when trials come, whether it be sickness, whether it be poverty, whether it be death, whether it be divorce, whether it be a lost child, no matter how great the grief or the pain is, if we believe that God is over all, we must trust Him. He will get us through it all, no matter what that season looks like. We celebrate God when things are great. And then sometimes we are the first ones, the people of God are the first ones that will begin to retract how we serve or how we believe. The Bible never promises our lives are going to be perfect because we're Christians. Never promises everything's going to be great because we're saved. We are still in a fallen state. Our bodies grow older. Our minds grow weaker. Our eyes grow dimmer. Seasons change. Kevin and Chris are in a beautiful season of their lives raising a little boy right now. It is beautiful. I know you don't think it is. I promise it's beautiful. It's beautiful, 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 because that little Hunter will one day be 14 years old, 15. You'll pray to God he was 2 again. That's just how life is. You know, they're in a beautiful season. Well, Tony and Brenda, they're not in that same season. They're looking at their great grandchild now. Great grandchild. We have 4 generations sitting in here tonight. That's pretty amazing. Tony and Brenda was young one time. Yeah. You hear Hunter laugh at that. Tony and Brenda were young. I've seen pictures. Tony was a looker. I said looker. Tony was a looker. And Brenda was too. They were young and they were in love. And y'all been married how many years? 55 years. Man. Tony was in the Navy at one time. Looked like Popeye the Sailor Man. Eating his spinach. Them biceps probably bulging. Them biceps don't bulge the same direction no more. It's here, Brenda said. Bicep. But you know what? They were in a season of, and now they're in a different season. And they've had hardships. They've had pain. They've had things along the way that they didn't always want to experience. They've raised 2 daughters. They've raised kids. They've done all that. They've been there. And through it all, God has kept them. The one constant we have. And I preach the message, God is your anchor. The one constant you have watching is God is your anchor. No matter what happens in life, He's your anchor. You can always trust God. He's not going to leave you. He's not going to walk away from you. He's not going to disown you. He is going to remain with you through your seasons, through your storms, every step you make. He's going to remain with you every time. That's the God that we serve. We see a woman with the issue of blood that God did not forget. She was not forgotten. And here is this little 12-year-old. Let's see what happens to her. She is dead. She is physically dead. But Jesus says she is sleeping. And they laughed him to scorn, knowing she was dead. I mean, think about that. Somebody comes in the funeral home to do a viewing, and they're laying in that casket. You know, we know they're dead. We ain't found one yet that wasn't. They were dead. Can you imagine somebody walking in beside me and saying, they're not dead, they're just sleeping. Bless you. You know what you'll be saying in the South? Bless their hearts. Bless their little hearts. They think they're sleeping. Oh, they're grieving hard. Bless their, I'm going to be praying for them. It would sound kind of ludicrous, wouldn't it? They're sleeping. No, we know they're gone. We've had them for 3 days at the funeral home. They ain't talked. They dead. They are gone. So they're laughing at Jesus. He put them all out. I love that. Get out of here. You're going to laugh at me. Just watch what I can do. Just get out of here if you don't believe me. And watch this. So here's what he does. He called her, took her by the hand, and called her, saying, "Maid, arise." Kind of what he did to Lazarus, right? Called him by name. Lazarus, come forth. He takes her hand, says, "Maid, arise." And her spirit came again, and she arose straightway, and he commanded to give her meat. This 12-year-old that was dead, Jesus brought back to life. The very parents that scorned and laughed at Jesus because they didn't understand saw Jesus. And that's why he said, "I am the resurrection and the life. I am that. I am that. I am the one. I am the resurrection. We see two beautiful stories of faith here. It's two miracles. A woman that could not be healed of her condition that was touched immediately when she allowed her faith to be exercised. I think sometimes we really fail to remember who we are serving. Who we are serving. If we knew and really put in our heads, man, I'm serving God. I'm serving the one who can do anything. No matter what I see, I know, God, you can. God, I know that you can. Will you answer the way I want? Maybe not, but I know you can. And God, I trust that. And whatever answer you give me, Lord, at least I know that all things work out, as your word says, for good to them who are called according to his purpose. And that's me and that's you. We're part of his purpose. And I've got to trust the Lord beyond my circumstance. I've got to be like that woman with the issue of blood that not to give up. She could just sat in her house till she died, right? She could just stay in that condition and says, I accept it. This is it for me. But she didn't accept it. She did something about it. She let her faith get her out of her living room to where Jesus was. And even this tabernacle leader, Jairus, he didn't have to go to Jesus. Once again, Jesus was on the other side. They were kind of the enemy, right? I mean, he's preaching and teaching something that the Jews didn't really go along with. But he's the very one he came to because he had hope that Jesus had what he needed. And Jesus has what we need. He has what you need. Talk to him. Give it to him. Surrender to him. And let him have what you need from him because he has power over all. We have read stories the last several weeks on Wednesdays about a lion's den, how God protected Daniel when he was surrounded by, and these weren't just tame lions. These were man-eating lions. In fact, they were brought in for capital punishment as part of capital punishment. Can you imagine? I mean, it's like the Western days where, you know, you'll be hanged by the neck till you're dead the next morning. They build the gallows and hang a man, right? Electric chair, strap him in, electrocute a man. This was a way of capital punishment. A criminal would be thrown into a lion's den, and within just a minute, they'd be crushed and eaten, devoured. But not Daniel, because God was with Daniel. We read about Goliath, this giant who stood in front of a whole army of Israel and defied everyone to come against him. David stands right before him. He wasn't a soldier. He wasn't an army man. He had no military experience, but he had God. And he stood in front of that giant and declared who his God was and had faith that God was bigger than what was standing in front of him. We must come to the realization that God is bigger than what is standing in front of us. No matter what that something is, God is bigger than that something. All of us, all of you watching, have something in your life that stands in the way of you and breakthrough. Whatever that is, if it's self-conscious about who you are, if it's a lack of confidence in who you are, if it's fear about the future, guilt about the past, whatever is standing in front of you, don't let it stand there any longer. Activate that faith and say, by faith, God, you can move this mountain. By faith, God, I know you can slay this giant. By faith, God, you can close the mouths of them lions. By faith, God, you can part the Red Sea where I'm shut in and there's no way out to where all of a sudden you make a way of escape that no man could have made. I trust that. By faith, God, I see this. By faith, I may be in my prison cell like Joseph for 2 years, forgotten about and the key thrown away. And then one day, something happened. One day, God, you remembered me. One day, you brought me out of the pit and set my feet back on a solid rock again. Hallelujah. That's what my God can do. That's what your God can do. But we must put our attention and realize he has power over all. No matter what. Stop measuring your storms and taking part of them to God and leaving the rest behind. Take them all to God. Whatever that battle is, take it to God. He's able to do even more than we could possibly ever imagine. He created all that we see. All exists because of him, and I do believe that. All exist because of God. If he created all that exists, he can take care of any problem in this universe. He created this universe, and he made it, and he holds it in his hands every single day. You know, Angela was talking one Sunday, and I love this about wind chimes, and I know this ain't very manly probably to say, but I love wind chimes. I'm a wind chime guy, okay? And so don't crack on me. I just love wind chimes. Oh, thank you. Bill does too. My best buddy loves them too. I love being on the porch and hearing them wind chimes just blow. Or in my living room, it just gives me peace. I don't know, something about it. Angela made a comment one time how that wind chimes can only be created by the hand of God. Because when do wind chimes make noise? When the wind blows. Who blows the wind? Absolutely. So next time you hear a wind chime, think about that. And I think about that ever since Angela said that on my porch, that God is talking. Because no other way can wind chimes move. Now, I know some of you smart ones out there say, well, you can put a box fan to it. Okay, who made the box fan? Engineer. Who made the engineer? His mama. Who made the mama? Her mama. Who made that mama? We'll keep on going back, and you'll finally figure it out. That first mama came from the dust of the ground. So God still made it. He still made it. But man, when you hear them wind chimes blowing, it's the wind, it's the breeze, it's the movement of God that makes that sound. So when you hear them next time, think about that. God, you're talking. Thank you, Lord, for speaking. Thank you, God, for talking right now to me. God's in everything, man. He's in everything. And I trust him. I'm doing these faith stories on Wednesdays because I want to create with each of you the thought process of I can have a faith story. I can have one. And some of you do have a faith story. You have a story you can stand up here and tell. I was on the brink of death, and God brought me out. This happened. God brought me out. Linda's got a faith story. And that Mustang, when that truck took the top of her Mustang off in Oklahoma, and she should have been dead, and God brought her out. That's a faith story. The doctors that first night I flew into Oklahoma, the doctors the first night said it's 50-50. Told me and Bruce, it's 50-50 right now, live or die, 50-50. We prayed for her. I said a story. She had so much stuff on her body. I was trying to find a place to lay my hand to pray for it, have physical contact with her, without tubes and without, I mean, she was completely covered. I remember having to search to find somewhere to put my hand so I could touch her as me and Bruce prayed. And God brought her out. We have faith stories. Many of us do. And we can have more faith stories because God ain't changed. I know we're in 2020 and we're in a whole different world, man. We are in a different universe, you know. We are in a wicked place in a lot of people's attitudes and their thoughts toward anything holy or godly. You know, I was telling somebody the other day that they had his picture on Facebook, and it was a rally. And this is how sick that we become in society. But yet God loves us. This is what's amazing. It was an abortion rally where they were supporting abortion. And it was about free choice, free choice, free choice, my body, da 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 da, all that. And they got these people marching. And this woman's got a sign up. And on the sign it said, if Mary would have had an abortion, we wouldn't be in this mess. You talking about some nasty, evil, wicked thinking. Oh, my gosh. This is part of the world that we live in, but this is the same world that Jesus died for. It's the same world that he gave up his life, that woman holding that sign could also have a Savior, could have the very Savior she wanted aborted, that she could have that same Savior. Trust God. There are more faith stories ahead. We hear a lot of negative things. That's why I have, and I've said this, I don't watch hardly any news right now. I've just tuned it out. I'm not going to fill my mind and my heart with things that continually bring me fear, bless you, Ashley, and panic. And just in case you're wondering, y'all, she covered her sneeze, okay? I'm not going to listen to things that fill my life with panic and with fear. I want to fill my life with faith. I trust God no matter what. No matter what happens. I choose to live my life in the freedom of trusting God than in the bondage of being afraid every day. It's a much better life, man. It's a much better life. You know, I'm sure Kevin feels that way as he goes out to work every day. You know, God, need to watch me today. Don't know what I'm going to run into. Watch me. And I believe that. David Lee's got a faith story when he was over in Afghanistan. And that IED ignited, but it didn't go off properly. He heard a click, but it didn't detonate. Well, it was a faulty one. Well, faulty or not, it didn't hurt him. Did God cause it to fault? Was it faulted already? Was it going to blow him up and then God stopped it? Who knows? All I know is he was safe. He's got a faith story. What's your faith story? Remind yourself of where God brought you from. Remind yourself of a time God did something like this for you that we're reading about. To remind yourself, you know what? God can do it again. He'll do it again. That's Psalm 119 saying, He'll do it again. Just like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, He'll do it again. We have a lot of wonderful, beautiful stories in this Word of God. A lot of events that really happened. They're not mythical stories. They happened. It's the Word of God. I believe it's truth, and it happened. And God is still moving among us today, and God is still watching us and preserving us in this time we're living in. We're in a very different season, but we're still in a season where God's the God of our season. And that's what's beautiful. So have faith in Him and know that He has power over all. I want to see before we closed if anybody else put anything on their prayer request before we close out. I don't see anything. Who did? Cindy LaFon? Okay. Oh, I see that. Okay, yes. Cindy, we'll pray for your mom and dad in closing as we close out our service. Want you to, you know, we'll be here, of course, 10 o'clock Sunday, so I want to make sure you join us if you can be here. I know you've heard all this probably already, but they've lifted the limits on people in churches now. We are still have our chairs separated here, and we want you to be here if you want to be here. We want to get our family back together. I do want to encourage you guys not to get so comfortable watching us from home, but understand that being here does make a difference. I know some of you don't need to be here right now probably, but for those that just want to be at home because it's more convenient, don't let that happen. We love you, and we need you here, and we need you to be a part of our family. And so just be praying about when the right time for you to come back is and join your church family. We are going to be honoring this weekend our fallen soldiers who have given their lives for this country. It's Memorial Weekend, and we will be honoring that this Sunday for those that have gave their lives. So tune in for that. We'll have a special moment to celebrate their service to our country. Okay. Well, Mallory requested a prayer for a friend that lost a baby, so that has got to be one of the most heart-wrenching things you go through, that's for sure. Pray that God gives his mother a peace that brings her healing. You know, it really is amazing in our weakest, worst times how God steps in and gives us strength, isn't it? I mean, it really is amazing. I've seen God in my own life. When I thought if this would happen, I would just lose it, but then I see God step in, and somehow I was okay. That is God. That's the strength of God that we have, that He don't leave us, and He really does carry us in our bad times. So come up here, Margie, and play a little bit if you don't mind again. We'll close out with prayer for Cindy's parents and for Melanie's friend that's lost his child. Yes, sir. Okay. Brandon has two personal requests. I also want to pray for my dad, too. He is okay, but just has a need that I want to pray for him as well tonight, for my dad. So let's close out in prayer tonight. Father, we thank you for the Word of God once again that gives us so much hope and so much strength that we read these stories, God, of what you did. You're the same Lord. We read that Sunday, God. You're the same yesterday. You're the same God that walked the seas of Galilee. You're the same God that rose from the grave the third day. You're the same God that ascended into heaven. You're the same God that's going to return for the church. You've not changed. God, we pray for Cindy's parents right now. Whatever their need is, you know it, God. I pray you bring to their lives strength and comfort and healing and hope. Whatever they are battling, God, we pray for Cindy's parents and her whole family. Be with them, God, and strengthen them in the name of Jesus. We pray for this precious mother who's lost a child. God, there's no loss like that. But I know that you are also over the pain and grief of that, that you can restore joy to this broken heart. You can restore strength to this weakened vessel. God, you can restore tomorrow when she feels like all of her tomorrows now are over. They're not. You have many more tomorrows for this young mom, and I just pray that you show her that. Bless your people, God, as we go our separate ways, and bless each of our church family members and bring them back to this place to worship with us. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let's sing this little song in closing since he's playing something there. If you know it at home, sing along with us in closing.
Lord, I believe in you.
Yes.
I'll always believe in you.
never let you down or never fail you. God bless you all. Hope to see you Sunday morning at 10 o'clock. We are going to resume our adult Sunday school class the second Sunday of June is what we're looking at. Second Sunday of June, we'll be doing our Sunday school class. Going to give Mr. Randy and see when he's coming back, and we can begin also our children's church as well, hopefully in the next couple of weeks. For those who want to bring your kids and get them back with Mr. Randy to learn in the back. So God bless you, and good night, all. Love you.